morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day to all the women. Today's reading is from Peter, chapter 3, verses 13 through 22. Now, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated. But in your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Maintain a good conscience so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight lives, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's bow our heads together in prayer. God of mercy, thank you for this day. Thank you for the love that we have, that we experience in so many different ways, especially through your Son, Jesus. Thank you also for the word, your word that remains relevant and wants to speak to all of us this morning. May your Spirit open our hearts. May your Spirit remove any obstacles. May your Spirit enable us to receive your message this morning. And may it transform us for the better. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So there's a man in the United Kingdom named Ben Giles, and he didn't start out as a hero. He started as a freelance window cleaner, paid by the pane. But one day a client asked him to clean a vacant property, and a place that was, by all accounts, an absolute mess. And so today, Ben Giles is the man you call when the mess is so repulsive, so overwhelming, that nobody else wants to do it. He cleans crime scenes, he cleans industrial accidents, floods. According to The Guardian, he's a self-taught stain savant, a walking database of remedies. Coffee? Easy. Soot, smoke, grease, blood, I mean, he's on it. Roadkill? Check. He's even cleaned a dead whale from a harbor, you know, out of a harbor. And when Giles trains his team, he often sends them into filthy prison cells. And he teaches them a technique called the Giles Method. It's slow, it's hard work, often done down on all fours, moving inch by inch to avoid spreading the mess. But it begins with one beautiful and life-changing principle. Everything in front of you is dirty. Everything behind you is clean. We might not be cleaning crime scenes today, but we all know what it's like to live in a mess. And so when the Apostle Peter wrote this first letter, he was writing to people in Asia Minor, or the modern-day Turkey, who were living in a messy world. They were struggling with malice, with insincerity, with envy, with slander, and their lives really felt stained. And I don't know, maybe you felt that way before, or maybe that's how you feel this morning, but we use that word stain to describe moral failings for a reason. We say a character is stained when a mistake feels permanent. We say someone is indelibly stained when it feels like no amount of scrubbing can ever make things right again. But Peter offers us a different perspective. And he says in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. And so Peter wanted his readers to know that Jesus had taken their sins on himself and paid their penalty for their sins. So if Ben Giles is a stain savant for the physical world, Jesus is God's stain remover for the soul. And Peter tells us in our passage for today, for Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. Think about the Giles method, right? Everything in front of you is dirty. Everything behind you is clean. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, everything in front of him was dirty. He looked out at a world of sin, a world of rebellion and brokenness. But after his death and resurrection, everything behind him was clean. He moved through the mess of human history, took the repulsive stains of our sin upon himself, and he left a trail of forgiveness in his wake. And Peter goes on to say something a bit mysterious. He says, Jesus went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison who in former times did not obey. And just like Ben Giles sends his trainees into the darkest cells to learn how to clean, Jesus descended into the darkest parts of human existence to proclaim victory. And he goes on and he connects this to the story of Noah. The great flood, remember, was the ultimate deep clean, a divine removal of a world filled with violence. But God promised never to use that method again. Every time you see the rainbow, instead, he gave us the Jesus method. And so now we aren't washed by a flood, we are washed in baptism. We're baptized into the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And once baptized, we become part of the body of Christ, the church. And we die to sin, and we are raised to a new life. And the first step for any of us is to admit our sins and ask for forgiveness. And we can do this with full confidence that Jesus removes the stain of sin by his sacrifice on the cross. And none of us should ever despair, because in the world of stains, there's always a solution. And for human sinfulness, there's no better solution than faith in Jesus. And so we should never be afraid to ask for forgiveness. Peter explains that baptism isn't about removing physical dirt from the body. It's really a washing that saves us. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what do we do with this clean conscience? Because forgiveness isn't just about making us feel better. It's about restoring order to the world. Because once we're cleaned, we are called to join the cleaning crew. And he says in verses 13 and 14, be eager to do what is good, even if you suffer for doing what is right. And he says in verses 14 to 15, do not be intimidated, but in your heart sanctify Christ as Lord. And then he also says, be ready to make a defense for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and do it with respect. In a world of, you know, heartless power politics, it's more important than ever that we try to do good, that we resist intimidation, that we live with hope, that we show gentleness and show respect. And there's the story of a man named Mac, a faithful servant of the church. He recently passed away at 89. And Mac was a brilliant engineer and computer scientist. But he was best known for creating Fix-E-Day as at his church. A day that brought people together to do repairs around the church building. And he spent his life renovating homes for low-income neighbors and led a project that built affordable housing in the church parking lot. And Mac lived by a simple philosophy. In life, there are no mistakes, only lessons to be learned. And if you make a mess, you ask for forgiveness, and you move forward with wisdom. So you see, forgiveness is a gift we receive so that we can be a gift to Jesus and to the people around us. Between birth and death, we have an opportunity to be forgiven and to forgive others, to receive cleansing and then do the work of cleaning in the world. So in a world of physical stains, there's always a solution. Mildew? Well, use a bleaching agent. Lipstick on a collar? Apparently Vaseline and grease solvent. Coffee? Soap and sunshine. Oil paint? Turpentine. But for the stain of sin, there's only one solvent powerful enough to work. Faith in Jesus Christ. Because no one is indelibly stained in the eyes of a merciful Savior. No mess is too repulsive for Him to tidy up. He has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to Him. And so today, if you feel the weight of a mess that you've made, remember the first principle. Everything in front of Him was dirty. Everything behind Him is clean. Step into that cleanliness. Receive His forgiveness. And then let's get to work. Gentle, respectful, and eager to do good. Cleaning up the world together. Amen. Lord our God, we all have messy lives. We all make mistakes. We all have sin. We all experience stains But thank you for letting us know again today that none of them are permanent. That forgiveness is possible in the name of Jesus. All we need to do is ask. Because through Him, you remove the deepest stains. May we all reach for that truth in our own lives today. Be cleansed. And then be part of the cleaning of this world. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.